If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. Follow me along all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can check out this little program right here over on the Twitter machine at Pop Culture PD. We are not the police, but there's only so many characters you can play with. We also got the new P's that look like parking symbols or whatever in the I see a lot of people doing that on Twitter, so you can check out our profile. Now, the P's are popping over on the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Again, at Pop Culture PD, please smash that follow button. It'll instantly make you systematic. Think about it for a while. Get back to me on it. Google it. With me, as always, my tag team partner right here in the podcast sphere. He is known as many names. Some people call him Billy Biceps. If you're on the YouTube right now, you see those guns are out. Watch out. He is at the gun range. Some people call him the bad boy of Twitter because he's booted off. His account was literally never to come back. He is known as Billy D2411 on certain social media platforms, but not on Twitter. He's at Billy Yee 2411. And most importantly, you can check out his OnlyFans. It is back and it is WrestleMania season. So that means it is WrestleMania 38. So you get 38 days of Billy's Ding Dong by using the promo code Billy38. So 38 days of Billy's Ding Dong over on his OnlyFans for just 38 cents a day, too. So it's quite the deal. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
38 cents a day or 38 cents total? So a cent a day?
No, 38 cents a day.
Okay, I was going to say, you can't even feed a starving child and wherever it is for a cent a day.
Hey, man, listen, it's your business.
It is. It is my business. But today we're here to talk about matches.
Yeah, you get right in the thick of it. You can check out all the stuff with our podcast. You know, you can check us out on iTunes, Spotify. A 5-star review would really make both of us 38 cents right in our pockets, even though we don't.
6 stars if it was in the Tokyo Dome.
Absolutely. You can check out the music for this podcast brought to you by Oh Yeah. You can check them out also over there on Spotify. You can check out our nonprofit, Frank Says Hi. You can check out franksayshi.com. We are t-shirts over at TeePublic, including That's a Chunky. Bill, any new stuff coming from That's a Chunky?
Yeah, I put up my NFT that I made for the Super Bowl, The Trick Gary V, the NFT Sloppy Steak. So I think that should be up there soon if it's not up there already.
Can people purchase that in hat form?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, I think I would get that in a hat. That's a cool-looking little thing. I think it'll be nice on a hat.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it up. Yeah. I haven't gotten a hat yet from TeePublic, but I might because I'm a hat guy.
I like it. Yeah, you are a hat guy. You're rocking a backwards cap. You wear a cap most of the time. Summertime, maybe not as much because it gets hot. But, you can also make sure you are supporting us over as a part of the Dork Cheered Gooniverse on Facebook. We already mentioned our Twitter handle for the show. Just appreciate all of your support. And if you found us today, appreciate you. I got to start off by saying it's been a hot minute. It was something I wasn't expecting. Many things, many different situations. I think you were at the Super Bowl. We misconnected. And then it was like my family just got awfully sick. No big C.
Down with the sick.
We were. And I'm telling you, Bill, I battled. I don't get sick. I'm like Lex Luthor. All right. I do my goddamn best.
Luger or Luther?
Luther, as in like Superman.
Ah, okay.
So Lex Luthor famously, like, he doesn't get sick because of all the actions that happened back in Smallville, which is the greatest comic book TV show. If people,
you know what? I might watch that because I'm looking for stuff to watch.
I think you would. So look, if you're anything like me, which is a scary thought, but if you're anything like me with like certain shows, like I love like the teen drama stuff. That show, dude, amazing. Like the first few seasons are really good. It's a fun show. It's easy to watch. Super likable characters, attractive women, attractive dudes. Superman's a stud. Tom Welling. But I don't think that show gets enough credit for really lighting the spark for like superhero TV shows. And like, I wouldn't say it was the revival. I get what there was all Batman and all that. But like in 2001, look at like the landscape of comic books, like heroes and like TV shows and movies in like the zeitgeist. It was Smallville was huge.
Oh yeah, what was the other one there with the other guy who played Superman like a decade before, 2 decades before?
Which
other?
Like the
Dean Cain. Yeah. That gets that. Like, I've never seen it. It must be terrible because that gets no love.
No, well, because it was just such corny CBS like Sunday night television. I watched that. I saw that whole series. No, Terry Hatcher at the time was at Fox, so there was that. It was Superman and Lois, or Clark and Lois, or I forget. There's the new ones called that, or whatever.
Lois and Clark.
Lois and Clark, whatever. Lewis and Clark. They're explorers. Yep. But I highly recommend Smallville if you want. Just dabble in it. Just dabble. I think it's on the Hulu, I believe. Either that or Amazon, one of those. Yeah, sometimes I'll fall asleep to it. It's in my rotation. But yeah, that's definitely worth your time, I would say. There's a lot of stuff we'll get to. As you mentioned, the podcast, the topic that we'll be getting to is another tier list. This time we're doing, I call it gimmick matches, stipulations. We got a lot of them. We got 20. I thought of a few after, but I'm like, we don't have to go into like a million of these things. And we can talk about these ones a little bit more. But we went over what I think is like 20 of the more interesting to talk about. And you came up with a majority of the list. We had a very shared list. It was just a couple. But obviously this week, there's a lot to get to in wrestling. I'll talk about it later in the pod. We have an AEW event. You have WrestleMania right around the corner. There's all sorts of crazy rumors and things that are going to be happening. We'll get to that later, as well as stuff that's happening inside of the Dork-Cheered Gooniverse. But like I said, we'll definitely get to the bracket, the Dork bracket. I was a consultant on that, so I have no problem taking some heat.
Jesus.
But I don't care. People can suck it. People can suck it. A very small part. I gave my 2 cents. But I did just want to say, yeah, the sickness thing, getting back to that, when people are sick around you, it absolutely blows. So obviously COVID, or the C word, I don't know if I can say that on YouTube. I think I think now we're going to get like marked.
It's over.
But the big C, it's over, right? Didn't Biden say it's done?
Done.
Be COVID?
Yeah, it's over. We're done. World War III.
All right, fine. One devastating thing to another. But yes, so like I avoided the big C with this, but when people are sick around you, it's awful. And a child sick is by far the worst thing I've ever experienced. We have friends that are awful drunk, but that's like eight hours, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe a day.
You got to put them to bed. They wake up, they're hungover, but they're no longer your problem.
Yeah. This 24/7 from last Tuesday night. So I had a friend come over on Tuesday night, and my son JJ had never been worse. He was just crying the whole time, completely miserable. And I was like trying to be like, hey, like this is my son. Like, nah, just a complete dirt bag. And like that basically until today. Today was the first day he wasn't a complete turd. 8 days, Bill. And it was hard because we were like, oh, maybe we'll catch up on the weekend. I couldn't breathe. I was trying to dodge my wife. She's sleeping out on the couch. She's sleeping in the bedroom next to me, screaming in the middle of the day. It's just bad. So for all those, this is the PSA of this. For all those that are thinking about kids in the future, just know. Greatest thing in the world, but goddamn, man. Sometimes you just got to cancel plans and life sucks when your kid's sick. But then they get better and it's cool again, I think. We're playing hide and seek tonight, so we'll take it.
All right, fair enough.
Are you a good sick, Bill, or are you a baby?
Oh, no, I'm miserable, yeah. But I mean, if I ever had a girlfriend, I would be acting like a giant baby.
Now, have you ever been sick on like a one-nighter or like a date? Like, have you ever gone out sick?
No, I just cancel.
Okay, so that's the thing that scares me. I think I'd be like, if I was in your shoes, I'd be such a gamer. I'd be like horrible. Like you wouldn't want to be around me, but I don't think I would ever cancel.
I cancel a lot, unfortunately.
Well, Bill, when it's just like, that's just a Tuesday for you. You know what I mean? Yep. Like it's just every other day. But all right, let's get into it here. The wrestling match tier list. We'll have it upon the screen if you're following along on the YouTube. As you know, here when we do tier list, we have five categories, probably my worst named categories, but we'll get to that in a moment. At the end, me and Bill can move one up, one down, and those will lock in place. So there's 20 different stipulation types here on this list. Like I said, Bill, you came up with a majority of these, and we both kind of went over. But the categories here, Bill, our top one always is vote. Greatest time. And I put one was just called fun. Great. Worth a watch. Never excites me. And what's the point?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of them are going to fall in that last two categories, but we'll see as we go.
Yeah. So let's just dive into it here, Bill. The very first match type is a battle royal.
Never excites me. Never once.
So I'm all over the place because there's been some really fun battle royals. Like the most recent one, even though the result was kind of obvious, there was like, I believe it was number one contender to face Brock Lesnar at the 2018 SummerSlam that was eventually won by Roman Reigns on Raw. There were some heavy hitters. It was Lashley was in there, remember, at the time. I think it's not all coming to me, but that was like an actual, like, I'm kind of had intrigue because they weren't doing a number one contenders match. So there's been times where battle royals can be really good, but I think overall I'd put it, I'm debating here because
let me put it this way. Let me pitch you here. So a battle royale is fine if you didn't already have the Royal Rumble, right? It's like doing the horizontal polka with a condom on. It's like it's fine that way. Like it gets the job done. But once you've seen the Royal Rumble, once you've had unprotected sex, like it's life changing. Like the Royal Rumble is the best way to do one of these. You can't overdo them. But once you've seen a Royal Rumble, a battle royale is nothing.
Let me get this straight. What you're trying to tell me is don't wear a condom.
I'm just saying it's a different experience.
Fair enough, Bill. Fair enough. For that, I will give you, it never excites me. Now I'm just uncomfortable and we'll put it there. The next match type, a one time only, it was a flatbed truck match. I think it was actually called a King of the Road match or something.
Yeah.
Between who? It was Dustin Rhodes.
There was like six people in it.
No, it was just two. It was just two.
No, you sure?
1,000%. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up. I'll it was like, it's a guy who used to be in a tag team.
I thought this was, there was like, it was like a, it was similar to a, not a battle royale, but I thought there was like six people fighting on a flatbed. I think there's been a few of these matches.
There definitely has been something that I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
King of the Road took place in a caged off trailer, blacktop bully, 18 wheeler truck. It was an uncensored 1995. Dustin Rhodes versus blacktop bill. Who is this?
Bully.
Let's see. It was, who we got? Steve on. No, why is this not on the card? Hold on, I'll get it here. This is good, good podcasting. Blacktop.
Oh, you know what? But it was just the two of them, but there was like six compartments, and it's fucking ridiculous.
This was Smash from
Action Smash.
Barry Dorso, dude.
Did that later turn out to be the Repo Man too, or was that Crush?
No, that wasn't Crush. That might have been Barry. That was Barry Dorso. It was before this, I think. Because this is 95. I think it was before this. But I'll tell you right now, this match, I remember watching it because I had the illegal cable box at the time. And as a kid, I was like, I thought this was going to like now looking back, what, almost 30 years later, 27 years later, like I thought for sure this was going to be like an awesome, like people are going to talk about it, like it was epic. This was one of the most panned match of all time. And I believe both of them were fired after this because I think they both bled. And they're like, WCW had like a no bleeding policy at the time.
No, we got a bleeder. Yeah, I mean, what's the point? I think a lot of them are going to fall into that category. I almost say fun, and it probably would have been more fun if it was two people at the time you'd ever even heard of.
Yeah, well, you've heard me. But yeah, to be honest, actually, Dustin Rhodes was very, this is before Goldust.
Goldust,
so, yeah. Yeah, so you knew him as, you know, Dusty's son, but not.
Yeah, but you didn't know him. You didn't know him at any. Like, I mean, I remember the WCW Power Plant growing up, but that was like my limited WCW until they launched Nitro. Yeah.
This is before Nitro. Think about that. This was before Nitro. Crazy. But yeah,
we'll not that. Thunder. What was the one with the like it was on like Saturday nights?
Saturday night. WCW Saturday night.
So that's what I was thinking. Not Thunder. Yeah.
No, yeah. So that was around. That was the best. I love that. I used to watch it. Go to church on Saturday. The Ash Wednesday, by the way. Ash up. I went to church, came home, there was like Star Trek, and then 6:05, boom, watching me some WCW. That was the only WCW program I ever really watched. I didn't know, obviously, I think that might have been the only one on syndication. Yeah. But speaking about WCW, really started in the AWA or the NWA, War Games.
I mean, to me, it's close to GOAT. I'd put fun. I love the way that NXT adopted it. The NXT ones are borderline 5-star matches every time. So this even the WCW ones back in the day were pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a great gimmick match for when like you have two really strong factions. So you mentioned NXT. We'll start early, go left, and then work our way back. Like when you had, I remember it was the random time Roddy Strong was with Authors of Pain, but that you had Undisputed Era before Roddy Strong was there, and the other team, all of a sudden I can't remember. It was three or four teams in that NXT one, and it was just amazing. And the gimmick itself is great. It's just you bring every, like, all these feuds kind of culminate in a War Games match, and I don't know. I think it's, I like it. It's a strong, it's a really strong type of match. Recently, I think Pat McAfee, he was in a War Games match against Undisputed Era. I think that was that the time that Kevin Owens came back? There's been some pretty strong memories, but obviously going back, you had the Freebirds, you had the Four Horsemen, you had all of those like factions back in the 80s, and that's where this match type really stemmed from. And you always had the heels getting the advantage, because for a while there'd be two against one, then three against two, always the heels started.
And the only problem that I had was the rest of the night was also wrestled in this exact setup. Let him use both rings. Let him use both rings. I never understood why you had to just keep it to one ring.
Famous match between Aleister Black and Velveteen Dream.
I thought it was Matt Riddle.
They had one too, but this specific one is the Say My Name feud.
Oh, yeah. Amazing match.
But it was just so funny, the visual you're talking about. It is such a strange setup because the cameras have to, like, usually there's a hard, you know, if you watch any wrestling event, the camera's set up in a certain position for the night. These matches, you have to pivot where it is, and for the live audience, you have to move which matches in which ring, because it's really confusing if you're on the left side and then the match is on the right. If you're on the right side, the match is on the left, that kind of screws you. But I do remember that match specifically during it, because it was such a weird shot with the two rings. But hey, they made it work.
Honestly, so that's the only thing for me keeping this out of recommending it as a GOAT, because there's not a ton of GOAT matches, I would say, that even can be considered.
I agree with you. Next one we have here is an ambulance match.
I think it's always worth a watch, to be honest. It's fun. I mean, you get usually some big guys. I know that it was pretty much Undertaker and Kane back in the day in these things, but you can slap them on the gurney. You can roll them down the aisle. There's some, was it the ambulance match where Roman Reigns crashed it, or somebody, no, was it Braun that crashed it?
Roman Reigns tried to murder Braun Strowman, then Braun Strowman got out and tipped the whole thing over and was like Jason Voorhees out of it. That was an excellent ambulance match because of all that. Mm-hmm. I despise ambulance matches.
Really?
They don't make any sense. You have to put a guy on the stretcher and wheel him past a certain point, or put him into the ambulance. To me, it is, and we don't even have, you know what's funny, now that I think about it, there's one we completely missed, but like a casket match. It's not on here. But casket match is a better version of that, but it's specialty kind of towards somebody. So they wanted to keep that kind of theory. But I don't know. For me, it never is going to excite me. So that's where I put it, because it's kind of like, how does it settle anything? You just put somebody in a, you either get them past the line or you put them in an ambulance. To me, it's just
fair. Like, and that's the WWE thing too. We'll get to it when we get to one of the other matches. There should only be one way to win every one of these matches. There shouldn't be option A and B. It should just be, you got to put them in the ambulance and close the door. Although you do get some great shots over the years of people just whacked in the head with a fucking ambulance door. Shane McMahon will jump off one. I think it's kind of fun. But I'll give you, never excites me.
Okay. Up next, an Undertaker specialty non-casket, the Buried Alive match.
We can kind of in the same category.
But something about this one, though, much more dangerous. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, it was during a certain era. It was cool. I thought Buried Alive matches were awesome.
Yeah, great Stone Cold moment in one of the Buried Alive matches. And it's just kind of cool to dump dirt on your opponent, knock him down a hole. It's fun. Like, that, to me, is always one that's, I'd say it's definitely worth the watch. I could even go fun, because usually when you get a specialty match anyways, they're almost guaranteed to be either main eventers or a main eventer versus a mid-carder.
And it also looks cool in the arena, like off the side of where the Tron is. There's the famous Mankind getting flung on a SmackDown from the Big Show, literally hits the dirt.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Awesome bump.
It is. The famous, I think the first one was Mankind versus Undertaker, and Undertaker's hand comes through, an iconic moment. You also had The Undertaker as the American Badass. His last appearance was in a Buried Alive match where he got lost to Kane and Nexus buried. I think it was it Nexus, or that might be too, my timeline's off. Somebody was involved with it. Not Nexus. That doesn't make sense. But they were like, they buried Undertaker when he returned that next WrestleMania as the Dead Man again for the rest of his career. Could even tie the Boneyard match kind of into this. It kind of was a Buried Alive match the way it ended. They,
oh yeah, 100%
in the casket.
And to me, that was the best thing the Undertaker had done in 7 years.
It's up there. Got it. That's a tough one.
Isn't it kind of funny too? Well, it isn't even funny. It's definitely for a reason that a lot of these gimmick matches are made for the gimmick wrestlers.
Well, yeah, it's how it comes. I agree. So I would put Buried Alive in fun.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, we'll place it there. Up next, maybe the original gimmick match, a salad steel cage.
So if this was 20 years ago, sure. Once again, it's kind of like the Hell in a Cell. I think cage matches could be cool still today if it wasn't for the fucking door. To me, that is the dumbest thing. Like, you have to suspend. I know you got to suspend your, you know, disbelief for wrestling. But you know how easy it is to get out of a fucking door in the course of a wrestling match? You just hit the ropes, climb through, and you're out. Like, I hate that. It should be out the top, and that's it.
Yeah. So, I'll be honest. AEW's re-kind of kindled the cage match. There's no doors.
Thank God. Doesn't make any sense.
And I don't think you can escape out the side. So the thing about a cage match, there was a door and there was a climb out, right? So like when you really think about those two stipulations, really dumb. But when I was a kid, that's all I wanted to see was those style. I didn't want to see them be a like pinfall in the middle. Then as I got older, I'm like, there should only be pinfall. Like,
well, I think that was the original idea of the cage it got to the point where like people were interfering or you were going outside the ring and getting dirty. All right, you're in a cage. That's it. Like Michael Scott says, cage match solves all. And that should be the case. And to your point, yeah, pinfall in the middle of the ring isn't bad, but you can't have the door. You can't have the door.
No, I agree. I just think that's a major thing that it holds it back, but I still like the idea. And I think we're going to get to this when we get to Hell in a Cell, which will be next, but like things should earn its way to a steel cage. I feel like what WWE has done, AEW's been okay with it, but it's like you sometimes they'll just be like, next week, these two in a steel cage. And I'm like, what? Why? Like, why am I seeing that? Like, I know it's exciting and it adds a little something. Like, it wasn't that long ago. I think like Rollins fought Lashley or somebody at the end of last year, or it was him and Kevin Owens. I don't know. There was just a random cage match on Raw. And I'm like, it's cool, but why? Like, why are we just doing that? So that always kind of bothered me. So I think you're right. I think diminishing over time, diminishing return, I would put it. I'm toying between like almost like never excites me.
It never excites me now. Now it never excites me.
That's so sad, but I think you have to put it there for now at least.
Well, again, to my sex point earlier, yes. When you have a regular cage and then our next one is the Hell in the Cell, and we'll quickly do some Hell in the Cell trivia here for you. Ooh. And since you are the more wrestling expert, how many Hell in the Cells have there ever been?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I don't know this. Most things I'm pretty good at, like, just kind of like I could throw a number because there was recently a Hell in a Cell. Well, not that recent, but there was a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view last year. And I want to say there was two matches in there. So I'm going to just guess at this point. Hold on. 3 year. I'm going to say that event's been going on at least 15 years. There's been some random offshoot Raws. So 15, then that's 45. I'm going to say 62.
50.
Oh, damn it. I was thinking a little bit less than originally, but okay. 50.
Again, they've kind of killed it having a pay-per-view named after it. Yeah. Because like the content should dictate the form. That's what I believe in all media.
Always.
Including matches. Like, you should only call for a Hell in the Cell when it's called for. You can't work your way to a Hell in the Cell. You know what I mean? You can do it in the back, but like it should be like, all right, this feud is at the point now that there's a Hell in the Cell match. And then it makes it less special when you break it out of WrestleMania. But I would still, I'm going to say, one other trivia question real quick.
Ooh.
Can you name the first three Hell in the Cell matches?
Okay. Shawn Michaels, Undertaker.
Probably one of the best ones of all time still.
Yep. It's top, definitely. I could
probably
give you
the best one.
Yeah, I got a top five. It's in there. The second Hell in a Cell, I believe, was Undertaker Mankind.
No.
Okay. Wait.
Raw
wait.
Is War.
Oh. Was it Undertaker?
Oh yeah.
But it wasn't Stone Cold. Who was that? Was it a tag team match?
It was.
So I think it was Undertaker and Mankind.
They were in the matches. They were on opposing teams, though.
Oh my god! So was Stone Cold in there? Was I, Mankind was. And Stone Cold?
There's only one other guy, and it's pretty obvious who it was.
Kane.
Yes.
Wow! But that was like right. That was the Monday before. It was like right before that King of the Ring, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that's also when the famous Undertaker was on top, and the thing went up as Raw was ending. And he literally looked like he was going to be crushed like an elevator.
That was June 15th, 1998.
Yeah.
And then the pay-per-view was June 28th.
Oh, okay. So we 13 days before. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. But that right there, that's a great piece of trivia because that makes no sense. Why would you ever do that?
No. And it was probably the first one was October 5th, 1997. So they gave it some breathing room. Then they had maybe it was just to remind people of this match. And then can you tell me the first Hell in the Cell match that didn't contain The Undertaker?
I believe it's Triple H and Cactus Jack.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it was before
that's the first one that didn't contain The Undertaker or Mankind. So I'll just give you a quick rundown. It's Michaels, Undertaker, then it's the Tornado Tag, then it's The Undertaker, Mankind, then it's Mankind, Kane at a Raw, then it's The Undertaker, Big Boss Man, the one where he kills him. He hanged him like a goddamn criminal. Then it's Triple H, Cactus Jack.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mankind Kane, couldn't tell you. Couldn't even visualize it.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been pretty consistent. There was a little bit of a gap. They've had one pretty much every year.
Because like it was in feuds after what you just described. Like after that, they started using them in like in feuds. And then what was it? 2000, I'm guessing like five or something.
2009 looks like it was the first ever Hell in the Cell pay-per-view.
Okay, so 2009, I think for a while, like it was like either No Way Out. They would occasionally figure out a way to like use it.
You would have been pretty on if you had figured that out because you times like 15 by it. So if you minus the three, you would have been real close.
Yeah. But the thing is, and you said it, like there has been some Hell in a Cell matches that have no reason to have been Hell in a Cell matches. And I don't mind the idea of Hell in a Cell as an event, but only if it's not October or only if it's not known. Like if you have an upcoming, like the thing that NXT used to do, like War Games, like I get, they ended up making it around Survivor Series, but the very first time it was coming up, it was like this feud, everything that's going on here can only be contested here. Mm-hmm. Instead, but like what you said, now they just like, they have it as part of their storyboard before the story's written. And I just hate that. It's like, going to see a movie and you already like you saw Batman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bastard. So you see Batman, you know, 2 hours and 10 minutes in, we're going to see this guy. Here comes this. But it's like, well, how do we get there? It's like, no, you write us there. But that has to happen at that moment. Like, that's not how you do things.
No, so, I mean, it's, you know, if something should be a 2 minute piece of comedy, but they're like, let's stretch it out. Or like even Lost was supposed to be a 3 season thing. Yeah. And then like, now you got to make it 6. Well, that's really going to make it a little bit worse. And it kind of did. But, you know, to the quick points about the match in general, like, it's an amazing idea. I think this was another, was this another Bruce Pritchard idea?
I don't know.
I'll probably take credit for it.
I've never heard him take credit for that one, but.
Maybe it was the other guy there, the squeaky voice. Oh, it might have been Vince Russo. Either way, the Shawn Michaels one is probably the best wrestled one, and the most memorable one is the Mick Foley one. Again, it's a little bit oversaturated. So, I'd go fun, and maybe we can bump it at the end.
I don't know. I'm actually, at this point, like, diminishing return kind of. Like, there was an amazing, there's been a couple great ones in the past recent history. You got New Day versus Usos.
Oh, that's one of the best ones.
I think to this day, the only tag team on the event, the premium live events are called now, by the way. And then Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks is really good.
And I think that Sasha versus
Charlotte.
Charlotte was good if they had done the match in a reverse order.
And not the drag out in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was strange. So, we'll put it as fun for now. It could bump up or down. The next one is just like these open-ended. It's extreme rules, no DQ, match with no rules.
Usually worth a watch because you can run the gamut here. Yeah. Because it could be anything from an old school hardcore match to a WWE 24/7 match to,
backlot brawls.
There was one graphic they showed that somebody made fun of one day where it was like, yeah, like a backlot brawl, a street fight, a New York street fight. They had like six different ways of just saying a no DQ match.
Recently, AEW Hangman Page faced Lance Archer in a Texas death match in Atlantic City. And it was hilarious. That's just like, what? What's a Texas death match? And then what's a Chicago street fight if you're not in Chicago? If you're not in the state, you just call it wherever you are, like an Atlantic City street fight. But it's just a death match. It has to be scarier. Up next, Bill, would be the first blood match.
All right. So how many first blood matches have there been?
Geez. Honestly, that's a tough one. There's been more than I would think. The famous one also from that King of the Ring that we mentioned, 98, that was Stone Cold versus Kane. How could Kane bleed? Well, he didn't.
That was the first one.
Was that the first ever, though?
In the WWE, at least. I'm considering WWE like the
standard. Yeah. There was a few after that, I remember, because they're always like the perfect match to screw somebody, because like somebody else will hit somebody and crack them, and that's what happened with like the Undertaker hit Stone Cold, I think. I want to say there was one random, like an IC title match with a Rock or Shamrock or somebody.
So I'll tell you that there's been, the first one was in 1998. The last one was in 2008.
Yeah, because before they went PG and everything changed. So like John Cena's been in one.
Yeah, that was the last one with JBL.
Oh, okay. Because they had obviously crazy.
John Cena's been in two because he was in one with Kurt Angle.
Interesting.
2006.
I personally, this match type sucks.
It does. It's stupid.
I don't like it. It never excites me. I don't even know if it, well, maybe it's what the point, because it's a wrestling match, especially when it's got like Cena and Angle or like top, like championship matches. I get during 98, it was the whole Vince McMahon. Like I get it when it's storyline worthy. That's cool. But when it's just like these two, like if you have two technically great wrestlers or like brawlers or anything that aren't like hardcore lower, like this is a great match for mid to low card to give it a little spice. It should never be in your main event scene.
No, it's a blood feud mid card, like low mid card.
Yeah, so I'll go with never excites me. But unless, what do you think?
I go, what's the point?
All right, we'll put in what's the point. And Stone Cold all blood in the image. Up next, Bill, the ladder match obviously starts off flames. The very first one was a Shawn Michaels Bret Hart, like I think it was a house show match in like 92, and then you had obviously the one that put it on the map was WrestleMania 10, Razor versus Shawn. They ran it back a year and change later at SummerSlam with the two titles, because Shawn Michaels didn't lose no belts.
Yeah, to me, this encompasses all of them, right? It encompasses anything TLC. Where it's hanging from the
Money scene. In the Bank. Yeah, at the end of the day, all ladder match, I mean, all TLC, Money in the Bank, they're just ladder matches. TLC,
because it's no DQ. You can throw somebody through a table anyways if you want.
Exactly.
It's not like a good old-fashioned chairs match, which is one of the best matches between Baron Corbin and Kalisto. Go watch that. That's a fucking great 15 minutes.
You know, it was a great match. The stairs match between Eric
Big Rowan Show and Roman Reigns.
No, I think it was Eric Rowan. I think.
It might have been. That's still a hell of a match that Roman Reigns put on at that one with the Big Show. But yeah, I would put it, even though there's been some flops, you know, did you mention the Ziggler, what's his name? Luke Harper match.
RIP. No, I did not. Those guys were money in the ring together.
Yeah.
Their ladder match was money, and their 2 out of 3 falls match, like back to back in 2000, I think it was 14, end of 14, was really strong.
Yeah. So I would put this in the GOAT. I would put this as a GOAT match. It's not always a GOAT match, but you know, you can get some of the greatest matches ever in this realm. When the thing is hanging from the ceiling, it's high drama. I remember one time that we were watching, I think it was after one of the baseball drafts you guys did. We were watching WrestleMania at your house, and the first 31. Match was the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. And we took bets on how many times will somebody touch the belt before they grab it. And it just showed like some, you know, virgin wrestling fans like 4 times. The thing was touched like 35 times.
Yeah, that was WrestleMania 31. To this day, still the last great WrestleMania, rewatchable at least from front to back. And yeah, that's the thing. They did that for a while. Like it opened 32. That was the Zack Ryder moment.
Because they got rid of Money in the Bank and made it its own pay-per-view.
Yes. And I like, that's the thing. I think ladder matches, especially when you have like the schmozzy, like 6, 7, 8 guys, like Money in the Banks, like they're always exciting. There's always some form of excitement with a ladder match. You rarely see a one-on-one. One of the best ladder matches of all time, Rumble 01 with Jericho Benoit. It just balls out amazing. You have that awesome Walls of Jericho on top of the ladder. But like
Eddie Guerrero, RVD.
Oh, yeah, for the I think that was the time that Eddie Guerrero got hit by a fan, came in the ring and knocked
he beat the shit out of him, but they still had a phenomenal match. And there was the Dominic on a pole match.
Yes, there was the custody of Dominic.
No, Dominic on a Dominic's what was it? Custody contract on a
pole. We're not even at the pole, Bill. We're not there yet.
It wasn't a pole, but yeah, but it was
the contract. There was his like life, like it was like his
The Terry Invitational tits, Terry's contract and $10,000.
We'll talk about that one for a second quickly. That match changed the game.
That was the first one that showed people like, woo, these guys can fucking go.
Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, total super low mid-card tag teams. Like, not a big scene, like, not the tag team champs. Like, this is during the era when, like, Austin and Undertaker were tag champs just months earlier. This is 99. I think it was 98? No, this is 99. So, it was at No Mercy, and that match was amazing. Like, these guys were doing stuff you're just like, how do you do this? Like, how does this happen? And then they just evolved it over the next 2.5 years, adding the Dudley Boys, doing stuff again like the Dudley Boys you would never think of as like ladder match dudes, but they were the table. Like, that's what TLC came from, because each guy had a gimmick. Now they call it TLC for no reason, just call it like Night of Ladders. But I agree with you. I think ladder is the true goat, because even when they're okay, they're still like extremely fun to watch and exciting.
100% agree.
Next one, Bill, total opposite end of this. It is the Great Khali specialty of the Punjabi prison match.
Okay, a couple of trivia questions here. How many have there been?
I want to say 3 or 4. I'm going to go with 3.
Okay, you're right. There's 3. And it first of all, I just want to establish this as hilarious, because I'm sure you can. So it's the Great Khali's match, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Who was in the first match?
Batista versus the Big Show, I believe.
No, it was the Undertaker versus the Big Show.
Oh, that's right. It was Undertaker, because the Big Show had to replace Great Khali, because he like couldn't figure it out with him in the ring. It's one of the best stories.
There's been 3, and he's only been one of them, and it's his own
Batista
match.
So he fought Batista.
Fought Batista at 2007's No Mercy.
Okay, there you go. And then the last one was Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. And he came back to help him win.
Yep.
Remember that? We were there. You were there, right?
Oh, yeah, I was definitely watching that one live.
Because it was at Kevin's apartment at the time, his parents' house, when they lived there. And I remember watching, and that was so funny. He comes out slow as molasses, like donks Randy Orton. Oh, my God. This is by far the worst match type. But even as bad as it is, like,
it's worth a watch.
It's worth a watch. It really is.
Watch it, yeah. Plus, it's only happened 3 times, so when you call out the Punjab, it's special.
It really is. We'll pivot from
that. Just like to look at the thing too. It's fucking ridiculous. It's the most ridiculous. It's more ridiculous than the dog kennel match. It's a crazy structure.
It's the worst visual if you're in audience. I can just tell, because I've been at Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah, it's wood all surrounding the ring.
It's so blurry. Like, if you're in the audience, people have described it. It's just like looking at like when you have out of focus like camera. Up next will be the strap match. So these have kind of different rules. There's been Caribbean strap matches. There's a strap match where you have to hit all 4 ropes.
I like that one.
You have the strap matches where you just have to, you know, you're just bound to each other so no one can run away. Mm-hmm. You have dog collar matches that we're going to be getting with like an MJF and CM Punk. The one you got with Cody Rhodes and Brody Lee, his final match, also in that, you know, and a dog collar. So these are all kind of similar. These matches to me, usually I like it.
Oh, worth the watch. I like it.
Yeah, I liked Daniel Bryan fought The Fiend at Royal Rumble 2020 before the world shut down. And that was a good match, because it was a whole thing where like The Fiend was always like attacking Daniel Bryan and then disappearing. So like that made sense. And obviously he got the best of him. And like going back to the old days, like Savio Vega versus Austin, when the Beware a Dog famous pay-per-view, Bananana goodbye to the Million Dollar Man. But that was the one you had to touch all 4 corners. Mm-hmm. I don't like the touch 4 corners. I don't get
I love it. The Rusev John Cena one was a great match.
Flag match with the rope, right? Mm-hmm. Oh no, that was separate. You're right. They just had a straight up strap right. match.
Yeah.
And like, I also think JBL, is that how he beat Eddie? No, he beat Eddie Guerrero in a different match, but JBL beat somebody by the, like, it's a heel. The four corner thing is like such a heel way of winning.
Yeah. I love it though, because it's usually between, you know, the top feud in the industry at the time. They give it to them because it's a way of sorting some sort of issue out, whether, you know, it's Ric Flair running and hiding or whatever it is. And it usually builds a pretty good drama. I think it's always worth a watch. If not, it's fun. But I don't know if we can give it fun, but
I don't know.
Can't give it three funds. Yeah.
All right. We'll go with worth a watch for now. It could be moved. Here you go, Bill. Here's one you were kind of teasing earlier. The blank on a pole match or forklift. You can do, we've had Viagra on a pole.
Mistletoe.
We've had a paddle on a pole match, a women's specialty match. You've had Judy Bagwell.
She was on a forklift though. Same idea though.
They couldn't put her on a pole. They tried.
pink slip on a pole.
There's been pink slip. Yeah, contracts on a pole. I remember The Miz got fired, then won one of those matches under a mask.
Fuzzy dice on a pole.
Have they done that?
Yep. Is that
like a TNA thing?
No, that was a WWE Divas from like 2000 and doesn't say here.
Fuzzy dice on a pole?
Fuzzy dice. I'm looking at the picture. It looks like Maryse versus Maria, maybe?
Oh, so yeah, the Maryse era to me, that's a weird time. That was like right in that, like I think me and you were hanging out watching Raws, but like, Maryse, I can't pinpoint her at any time.
Yeah, the two best are the Viagra on a pole and Buff Bagwell versus Chris Candido with Judy Bagwell.
Just WCW did these right. These matches
are fucking hysterical.
These matches are trash, though.
I'm looking at the picture right now of Judy Bagwell on the pole, and it's unreal. It's so really funny.
Is. I would even add this like shark tank, shark cage kind of thing, like mm-hmm. those style. But I guess this we can joke all we want. It's worth a watch.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's worth a watch, especially like going back, like being gentlemen of our age, sophisticated men. Some of those women's like paddle on a pole,
oh, yeah. and stuff like that. Mistletoe on a pole, you can't beat it.
Nope, sure can't. Up next, one time only, Bill. It was the dog kennel match. It was a Al Snow. Talk about the perfect, like this feuds like today would never have this in the middle. This is like a main event match, but it was Al Snow versus Big Boss Man after Big Boss Man fed Al Snow his dog.
Yeah, this was a great time to be Big Boss Man. He was stealing the casket from Big Show's funeral. He was feeding Al Snow his own dog, Pepper. The premise of this match is it's a cage match surrounded by a Hell in a Cell. So you're thinking, all right, okay, that's cool. But running in between the little area that there was dogs, like pit bulls and Rottweilers. And they weren't ferocious. They were just taking dumps and pees everywhere. It was, I don't think I've ever actually watched the whole match. And I don't know why you would.
I've gone back because it's in like some of those documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, I will tell you, that match is the dribbling. It's one of the worst. And here's the thing. The concept of the match, take the dogs out, is a great idea. Because it's not only a Hell in a Cell, which is dangerous. It's the old salad blue steel cage. Mm-hmm. That's even more dangerous. So you're thinking, this is like all the elements of like a really great idea, and like put like a Jeff Hardy type in a match like this, you get crazy stuff. Unfortunately, this was an absolute train wreck, and they never went back to this concept. Not the dog part, but like I like the idea of doing the cage inside. Like there's something really cool about that.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just more excited about it, but then it probably just turns out to be like the Punjabi prison and nobody likes it. So I guess we got to go with what's the point.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that will go there. A few more left here. Old school one here. You don't see much of this. Blindfold match.
Nah, I was never into this. Even as a kid, I was like, they can see out of these things. I think it was Rick the Model Martel and Jake the Snake.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Arrogance, the spray turned, you know, Jake was blind. So they evened him up. Is that WrestleMania 7?
Might be WrestleMania 7. It's definitely not 8. It like, you know what? Jake the Snake did fine. Like they put on a fine match, but like, I don't want to see two people wrestle where, you know, they can see, but they're pretending like they can't.
Well, that's the point. At the end of the day, once the kayfabe, this is a horrible kayfabe match or non kayfabe. So, yeah, I guess this one, I'm going to go, what's the point?
Mm? Oh, yeah.
Because it was cool in that instance, but there was a bunch of them after. Like, I remember there was a couple of Raws with these matches. The next one, Bill, is, I think, unfortunately, we had about a year and a half of these, but the empty arena match.
I did love the actual empty arena match. I saw it on a list for one of the worst matches, but this was great. No. The Rock and Mankind just sprawling, like flying around. I mean, if you're able to go all over the arena, and he was just like throwing them downstairs, bringing them into the office, picking up the phone, answering the phone, hitting him in the head. I think that's where you get the you look like 10 pounds of monkey crap stuffed in a 5-pound bag. I think this is fun.
Yeah, I do too. Like the only thing that was obviously goofy about this is at the end with the when the forklift started coming down, and you know the camera was on like the bottom. That was a little weird. But the match itself, you're right, and that was also when they went in the back. Rock was like answering the phone, Heartbreak Hotel, you know, stuff like that was just genius. So I thought that was great, and I'll give it fun. Even though it's an era that killed a lot of wrestling fans during this pandemic, these wrestlers went out there and were putting on shows in front of literally no one. So I'll give him credit there as well. All right, time to get the 18-year-old libido out, Bill. The evening gown match, and could even potentially be a bra and panties match, if you will. These are some of the titles.
Worth a watch. Even if it's Gerald Patterson and Briscoe.
Yep. There is no doubt. This is by far worth a watch, and sometimes I even delve back into those. But a foregone or a bygone era with matches like this, but a lot of fun. Obviously, a lot of times, like I feel like when SmackDown debuted, there was a lot of this on like SmackDown. Like Raw, I think, like took that turn. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like Tori Wilson was in these matches like all the time. And it became like almost like her casket.
Oh, it's her thing, 100%.
Yeah. Because it was like, oh, you're not like a really good wrestler. We're not going to put you in the championship. So why don't you just take your clothes off on the weekly? But these matches also, like when they first started, were like very fun. I remember there was a tuxedo match between the Fink and I think it was Tony Chimmel or whoever was. It was like another announcer at that time. And they had just, it was just ridiculous. But that was in like the early days. Or it might have been Harvey Whippleman. I think it was Whippleman versus the Fink in a tuxedo match in like 94. On a Raw, just crazy, but those matches are always fun in their own right. Definitely worth a watch. Bill, here comes another one. I believe one again, just like the dog kennel match, is one time only, and many reasons why. It is the Hog Pen match. This was Henry O. Godwin versus Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
At the time. Basically, it's mud wrestling.
Yeah, which there was other mud wrestling again, but
so I'll give this it worth match, a watch.
You know what? I mean, it was worth a watch because you know what? It was a weird match. A lot of blood also in this match. Like there was like, cause like it was real wood and like Triple H like broke through. Triple H won this match, by the way, which is bizarre. It was like supposed to be like him in hell, but then he got like all the slop and pig.
I mean, food. And you know what? At the time it made sense because he was, what was it? The blue blood or whatever the fuck his gimmick was.
Yes. Yeah.
He was not Triple H. He was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He was doing the little bow. He was from Greenwich, Connecticut. He was new money or old money or whatever the hell he was. So yep. It made sense for him to be in a muddy match with one of the Godwins.
It was great. Yeah, great storytelling stuff, especially then. The last two here, Bill, the Inferno match.
I mean, you've heard Bruce Pritchard talk about this. It's just stupid. I mean, it broke my N64 cartridge on. I think it was WrestleMania 2000 when you had it wasn't the Game Genie. Was it the Game Genie? It was something, one of the codes you put in to get the Inferno match, and it just fucking bricked the game.
Yeah, there was something. It was like the coding. I think it was No Mercy. I don't know if it was.
Might have been No Mercy. But either way, like it's the dumbest match ever. They surround the ring in fire. It's basically just like these long, you know, stone troughs that I think they light on fire. And then the point was it to catch somebody on fire?
Yeah, so the obviously the very, very first one.
It's only been like three, right?
I want to say there was more, but then they also did like Ring of Fire matches. Also, Bray Wyatt, well, the Fiend was burnt to a crisp a couple, you know, just before he was released. I think that was out of TLC. But
There's five. Been five.
Five. And four. So I know MVP faced, I think, Kane in one. Obviously, Kane versus The Undertaker was the first one at Unforgiven 98. I want to say there was one involved, like Triple H was in one with Kane.
Mm-hmm. Undertaker versus Kane, 1998. Yep. Kane versus MVP, 2006.
Yeah, Triple H versus Kane. That might have been on like a Raw.
Randy Orton versus The Fiend, 220.
Oh, they did count that one. Did they count the Kane versus the Bray Wyatt as one?
No, Kane versus The Undertaker on a Raw, and then Kane versus Triple H at a SmackDown.
Oh, SmackDown. Okay. So, yeah, there you go. But there was a Ring of Fire. The first ever Bray Wyatt match at SummerSlam was that Ring of Fire versus Kane. So, I don't know. This one is worth a watch to me. It's cool.
We'll put it there, and I'll move it down.
Fair. And then the last but not least, the Royal Rumble.
I mean, like I told you, it's my Christmas of wrestling. It's the best match there is. I think, you know, shout out to Pat Patterson, who did the original one on like a regular TV show. It's given us so many great moments over the years. This year's, I even liked it, even though it was, you know, by many standards, crap. The women's one was pretty good, but, you know, the idea of being able to come in at one and last the whole way is exciting. You know, the number 30 is exciting. And then all the way through it, there's just classic moments all, you know, throughout history. And Kofi Kingston's made a name for himself in it. I mean, you just can't say enough good things about the Royal Rumble.
No, this year ended up turning to trash, but when you're watching it, you're never thinking of it that way. There's great moments, great returns. Stars can be born without winning. Like, you just have awesome standout moments. So I 100% agree with you. It is, I think, the only other potential GOAT. I think the ladder match and the Royal Rumble make total sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch too many of these matches, and, you know, we can get some, you know, an honorable mention here. What was the TNA match where you had to climb through the hole?
Oh God, climb! I know. I was thinking that was another one. We snubbed casket submission match.
Yeah.
We snubbed you just threw me off with the hole. I don't know. I know there was the X division match where you had to climb.
Oh, that did have a hole in it though.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what you're thinking. The extreme. I think it was called like Extreme X. I'm horrible with that era.
It had like wires. It was circular to the top. It was kind of cool.
That was cool. They also had, we didn't even put in like
three levels of hell or whatever it was.
That one, or Elimination Chamber. There's a couple others, but at the end of the day, like, again, we could have went on and deep, really deep into this. We could have went one-on-one, a handicap match, all that. Yeah, but I think out of these, so Bill, you can move one up and one down.
I'll move the Inferno, and it never excites me.
Okay.
I think we nailed it. I think otherwise we nailed it.
Yeah, I'm really looking here. Like, I could go Battle Royal up to Worth a Watch, but I'm not overly excited about that. I think this is our most even, like, keeled tier list here.
Yeah, I mean, it's WWE, so there's going to be a large amount of crap. but, you know, most of it's fine. So right in the middle. And then, you know, the lowest of any of them are GOAT, and then Fun is tied with two lowest. And it's a pretty... We sorted it out well, and I think it fits WWE's content. Like,
yeah,
most of it's fine. A lot of it's bad. Every once in a while, you get something great.
So to wrap it up, the what's the point lowest category is the flatbed truck match in the road. You have First Blood, the dog kennel match, and the blindfold match. Those are literally, what is the point of any of those? Never excites me. Battle Royal, ambulance match, cage match, which that's diminished over time, maybe can make a comeback. In the Inferno match. Worth a Watch is a no DQ kind of Extreme Rules. Punjabi Prison match, strap match, blank on a pole, evening gown match in the dog, the hog pen match. Gonna get more of those. The fun was War Games, Buried Alive, Hell in a Cell, and the Empty Arena match, and the GOAT, the greatest matches of all time, ladder matches, and the Royal Rumble. I think we nailed it. Job well done by all of us. Oh yeah, I'm a bit out on my mind. Oh, Bill, anything you've been listening to, watching? What's been going on?
Yeah, I've been listening to, watching a lot of stuff. So I watched Peacemaker. Did you finish it yet?
I have not. I'm not even going to pretend.
All right. So you got to get that done, because hopefully we can do that next week. Because
yeah.
The more I think about it, the more I liked it. But on a whole, it was consistent the whole way through. John Cena, unbelievable. And then I saw The Batman. Gotta tell you, it was good. It was good. It's very, very good. I still think I like at least one or two of the Nolan movies way better. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
Do not. I will kill you. I'll literally murder you.
It was an exciting thing to see a movie like that that I had been super excited for. Like Suicide Squad, I wasn't like crazy excited for. I was more excited to go to the movies. But I like Suicide Squad better than this movie.
Really?
It's two different types of movies.
Yeah,
this movie not even as fun. I just didn't think, you know, it didn't fall short of what it set out to do, but it didn't blow me away. I wasn't at the end of the movie. I wasn't sitting there like I was at the end of even Batman Begins. At the end of that, I think that's just because it flipped the whole genre on its head, if you will. But at the end of The Dark Knight, sitting there in theaters, I was like, that was fucking unbelievable. Like, I felt like I had just gotten off a roller coaster. I was like, that movie absolutely was awesome. This one didn't have that feeling. I wasn't disappointed by it. It was very good.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Hopefully by next time we're doing one of these, I'll be there with you. There's a bunch of things I've been watching. I finally caught up with Righteous Gemstones. Mm-hmm. I got into the new Super Hyped. I want to give a little plug for this. It's our guy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Kyle Chandler. It's the story of Uber. Very fascinating. It seems like it should be like one of those just short series, but it's an actual like show. A lot happens in the first episode, just debuted this week. Worth a watch there. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He literally can crap on the screen. It's worth watching, even though he did in that horrible movie with Jamie Foxx. Can't even think of what it was called now. Literally one of the biggest pieces of trash. You can go back in our archives. You did a Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of career retrospective. But Bill, I'll just kind of run down a couple things. You know, we'll pivot into the dork.
Oh, I got two more I forgot.
Oh, go ahead, please. You go first, and then we're going to just talk rest.
So the Genius, the Kanye documentary. So it's not a well-made documentary from the standpoint of like the writing. The intro is pretty cool, but like even the editing, and it's obviously shot mostly on a camcorder back in the day. But the moments in time that you get from this are some of the best things I've seen in years, because it's Kanye before he made it. He made it as a producer, so he's still somewhat famous, pretty wealthy, even though he had, you know, money problems even back then, like learning how to spend it. But you're seeing moments in time with his mom, and I'll tell you what. You have a great mom. I have a great mom. This mom's moment with his son, it's unbelievable the love that you can see just oozing from her. I couldn't believe it. There's a moment with Pharrell that's outstanding. There's a moment with Jamie Foxx that's outstanding when he's telling him how to sing slow jams. It's some of the most interesting stuff. And him walking around record studios as a producer that they know and pitching ideas, not to say that like I'm Kanye West, but we've all been in that situation where you're pitching something that you believe in and people are just like, no, kid, get out of here. We don't want to hear you. You do this for us. You don't do this for us. So seeing him like being like, yo, listen to this. He's playing it and people are just talking like it's not going on. He's literally rapping in their face.
I saw some of this stuff where he's playing like Jesus Walks. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's playing like everything. Yeah. It's so crazy to see like he was walking around with one of the all-time debut albums, you know, multiple Grammys, Artist of the Year, and people are just like, nah. Bucket. But then you see Pharrell hear it and he's like, that's why, like, you know, I think I said it in the chat, like that's the moment where it's like, okay, so Game does recognize Game. Like Pharrell was like, I'm not gonna like bullshit this kid and pretend like he's not great. This is unbelievable. And then see, last awesome. Thing
yeah
the other two, I think it's on HBO. It's phenomenal. I watched it all in about a day. It's a story about like a Justin Bieberist kid, but he's like the third wheel. He's not the main part of the story. It's about the brother and sister being like his managers and like friends. It's so good. It's some of the best television I've seen recently. I don't even know when it came out. I think it was on Comedy Central originally and then got picked up by HBO.
The other two. All right. We'll have to check that out. A lot of recommendations there. Also just one music news you saw, obviously, the Dua Lipa controversy, which isn't controversy. I'm just gonna say this right now. I don't care about people stealing people's music. Call me a bad guy. At this point, though, like unless just that was kind of blatant, but like music's gonna sound like other songs eventually.
Yeah, I mean that was. I totally agree. And you know the thing. I somebody added me and Mac on Twitter because we're hashtag Dua Lipa guys. We saw her in concert. I don't even think we've spoken since then. What a fucking show that was. But like her other song is a White Town cover or a sample.
Yes,
like. She paid for that in the front end. You think anybody would have made any stink about the fact that, oh, you like levitating? You know that's a sample. Fucking every song sampled.
And just like on top 10 of that,
real songs out right now.
And it's not Dua Lipa, everybody. She doesn't produce her own music. There's producers.
She did get writing credits, but there was like 70 writing credits.
Yeah. That's what I mean. But writing's different. That's writing the songs and stuff. Like, if she's not producing and like going in there and being like mixing and be like, oh, I heard this somewhere. Like, bullcrap. That's all on her production team. We're obviously always, we always blame the artist. Same thing happened to Olivia Rodrigo with that bullcrap Paramore.
Yeah. And like, if you go and listen to that song, it's as basic a song as there's ever. It's four on the floor progression the whole fucking time. And they add a little bit of like spaceshipy stuff to it. So
seriously, there's a little pivot in some wrestling stuff. This coming week, Bill, is AEW Revolution, their next big pay-per-view. Some pretty big matches on this one. You're going to get Brian Danielson versus John Moxley in a very interesting storyline here, Bill, where Danielson wants to join John Moxley and create like a faction. And Moxley says he doesn't team with anybody until he bleeds with them. Kind of a cool, I like where they've gone, where they're going with this. So they're just going to beat the bag out of each other. Brian Danielson's literally incredible. Jericho versus Eddie Kingston, which would be a good one. You got the Face of the Revolution ladder match for a future TNT championship match. You got Keith Lee, newly debuted over on AEW, versus Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Ricky Starks, Orange Cassidy, and a member to be named. You have Britt Baker, the women's champion, versus Thunder Rosa in a match that's kind of been a long time coming. CM Punk versus MJF in said dog collar match I was mentioning earlier. Those two are doing straight fire and promos. Hangman Page versus Adam Cole, baby, for the AEW world title. This event should be really good. And by the way, some news came out today that AEW purchased Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
So that was
that's good for them at least.
Yeah, so that should be for
is library my guy, who's the guy?
Cheeseburger?
No, I love him, though. The other guy, the guy who does the Macho Man impression.
Jay Lethal is All Elite.
Oh, he's already All Elite. All
yeah, right, he came over right when Ring of Honor folded at the end of last year, but he's just completely unused. Like, he's on, like, AEW Dark. He's never on TV.
He's so fucking awesome.
My guess is, without knowing anything and not, like, reading reports, he's probably a big, like, backstage help and probably helping younger talent, too, at this point in his career.
But get that guy to the fucking people. That guy's amazing. That's a guy that could put them like up. He's just got such a personality.
Yeah, he debuted at the last pay-per-view, I believe. And one other thing I was going to just let you know, Bill. So WrestleMania this year, two nights, Dallas. Mm-hmm. They've announced some of the matches so far. So we're, I think, 5 weeks out. A lot of rumors. The Cody Rhodes rumors running wild. You have Stone Cold potentially returning, which... we talked about on a podcast a while back about Edge returning and like why we didn't want that. And both of us were wrong. I think like he's really wrong. Proven himself. But like Stone Cold returning. That's like Shawn Michaels returning what he did in Saudi Arabia. Like, let's not do that. I get, and I'm only doing that because I'm a fan. If I'm him and they're going to throw $10 million at me, of course I'll do it. Like, what do I care at the end of the day? If he's healthy, 57 years old, Stone Cold, by the way, 57. So there's a rumor that's going to be happening. There's also a rumor of Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee.
Two guys I really can't stand.
Oh, I love Pat McAfee, but I like, what are we doing? Vince McMahon's like 78.
Yeah, he'll break a hip. Legitimately, he'll break a hip.
I don't know what's going on there. So he's going to be on the Pat McAfee show tomorrow if you're listening to this live.
Vinny Mac?
Vince McMahon, his first live interview in 15 years. Tomorrow,
Pat McAfee,
2 p.m.
Those usually don't go well. He usually winds up smacking somebody or like throwing papers. But so, not even like a fake one. Like in the real ones, he gets fucking pissed. But this is obviously a work because he now works for the company.
Well, that's the thing. And I think that's where like Adam Cole, when he went on there years ago, was a work. It was a work, but you didn't know.
It looked real.
Because he was calling like small and it was really well done. But here's the matches so far for WrestleMania. So night one, April 2nd, you're going to have Charlotte Flair defending the SmackDown women's title versus Ronda Rousey. You're going to have Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's title, which I still think that should be the headliner. You got, listen to this one, Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul.
Woof.
Yep, that's WrestleMania.
I get it, though.
Night two, the only confirmed match, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns in a unification winner-take-all title match, which another rumor came out, Bill, that they're going to unify the title, but then going to split. There's going to be another title that's going to come out. I don't know. Again,
I mean, if you're not going to unify the women's one too, then yeah, they're going to be up to some hijink.
Yeah. And then the only other two matches announced so far, AJ Styles versus Edge, which I'm stoked for, just announced, and Queen Zelina and Carmella, the tag team, women's tag team champions versus Sasha and Naomi. Oh, okay. Sure. And then rumors of, obviously, like I mentioned, those two. And then, like, Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville for the Intercontinental title, which just, boo. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's so hard to be a wrestling fan sometimes. I'll be honest.
You can't have Logan Paul and Knoxville. I get Logan Paul, every person under the age of, like, 20. Like, that's their favorite actor and boxer. But, like, you can't do two of them.
My thing is, like, if you want Knoxville involved, fine. Like, you did the Rumble thing, cool. Or he could be in, like, if it's Zayn versus Finn Balor, just throwing a name, like, then have Knoxville being a part of that.
Yeah, being a part of the feud. Sure, that's fine. Yeah. I don't mind that.
That's what they did with Logan Paul last year when it was Zayn versus Owens. Like, that was fine.
Or just have Bad Bunny, because that guy's fucking awesome. Oh,
gotta love Bad Bunny. Gotta love it. So that's some stuff that's coming up. Obviously, I'll probably post some. I might do a Revolution preview before the weekend's out. But, Bill, the big news in the Dork Shared Universe, the Dork Tober this year is the best wrestler.
Dork Madness.
Dorktober this year. Dork Madness.
I think it's Dorktober 7 minutes in heaven.
There you go. And so they are going with the best wrestler. So Keith came up with the bracket, sent it over to me, just asked for my 2 cents. I noticed a couple of things, but I'm like, well, the way he had it set up in the matchups, I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm good with that. Like, I gave him a few people I had him switch out, but I thought everything looked good. And I noticed Roddy Piper wasn't on there, but I don't look at Roddy Piper. Like, he's not going to win.
He's not a great wrestler.
No, but he's not going to win these categories either. Like, I'm like, it's like Ultimate Warrior, Roddy Piper, Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant, Roddy Piper, Andre the Giant.
I'm looking at the whole thing. I can't tell you besides maybe, like, if you want to put him over Kerry Von Erich.
That's the only person, but I like that he included Kerry Von Erich because it's a different era in time, and it's a 15 seed. So I'm like, it's not going to matter.
But I'm looking at this otherwise. Like, that's why the video that he put out, which we'll play in a second, I didn't think need to be made.
No, absolutely didn't.
All right, so let's play that.
Oh, I have to get my son. Yeah, let's play that.
All right. Let's talk about the brackets a little bit. People are upset about the brackets. People are mad about the brackets. No Junkyard Dog. Harrow's mad about no Junkyard Dog. No Roddy Piper. That's a mistake. We should have had Roddy Piper in there. I don't know how he didn't get in there. He was on my list. He was like a really high seed. So I screwed that up. But everybody else, whatever. Right? There's plenty of other good options out there. The seeding. Don't worry about the seeding. The seeding's fine because you're going to all vote on who the winner is anyway. So it's all about your votes. And the regions, I just named the regions that way. They're sort of a loose, as you can tell, WWF, WWE, and then WCW, and then sort of like an other kind of feel. But my Atlanta. But again, there's so many guys that crossed over. I wanted to put Hogan over in the WCW one. I ended up calling NWO. It's fine. Not everybody's in the NWO. Obviously, most of those guys were WCW guys. And also vote on them as their entire career. So like Bryan Danielson, you'll see on there. Same as Daniel Bryan, whatever. Vote for him how you want, but it's up to you, the people. Are you seriously just yawning in my face right now? Let the voting begin. Nothing like some good controversy. My God, what am I covered in? Like barbecue sauce? It's unbelievable. All right, well, he's getting upset. Anyway, vote along. Continue. All
right, you get the picture. My son's losing it.
Do you need to go?
And I'm the only one home. So that'll wrap it up. But yeah, Keith didn't have to do that. And you know what?
No, he didn't. But also the only thing I'll say quickly is if you ever said something didn't matter, the seating doesn't matter, we'd get torn apart for that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's he told me that in a text, and I know what he means. Like when we've
done it doesn't. But it like doesn't if we ever matter. Said rules don't matter, we'd be buried for weeks.
Crushed. Absolutely crushed.
And but he knew he was wrong because he put the dog in the video for sipping.
Yeah. That was a good move. I'm gonna start putting my crying kid in my videos.
All right, you got to go take care of him.
He might have just sympathetically just fell back. Here's the thing. Another parenting tip nobody asked for. Sometimes let him cry.
Yeah, verbalize.
He's old. He's older. It's not like he's a baby. He'll figure it out. He's a big boy. Anyways, but yeah, this was a lot of fun. This is a fun one. Hope you guys enjoyed the tier list. In the link in our description on the podcast and on the YouTube video, you can do your own tier list. You can fill it out how you want. Send us screenshots. We'll post the link to it. He is at BillyD2411 and BillyYee2411 on Twitter. I'm at Jason D. Rossi. Please leave us a 5-star review over on the iTunes. And just hope you have a great week. Do something nice for somebody else. Lenten season. Give up something if you want. If you don't, no big deal. Manifest something good in your life, make it come true. And Bill, we'll be back next week with Peacemaker. And do you have any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.